our Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Job 42, verse 2. Amen. Job chapter 42, verse 2. It says, I know that you can do everything. Underline that. You can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Underline that. From no to you. Now, this is Job's statement describing God's sovereignty. Okay, now we'd like to find out the truthfulness of this statement. That the Bible records a statement does not make it true. Record and revelation are two entirely different things. So is God truly sovereign? What does his sovereignty mean? And does it have limits? We want to find out. So are you ready? Okay, thank you. Now, sovereignty is one of the divine attributes of God. Now, earlier in the year, we had examined the attributes of God in the teaching what God is like, particularly God's sovereignty. And we said that God's sovereignty is incommunicable. That is, it cannot be transferred to his creation. Yes, we may have kings who rule sovereign. The Bible talks about kings like Nebuchadnezzar, David, and Solomon, who ruled sovereignly. Okay, today we have presidents, and even countries are called sovereign states. But none of them are sovereign in the sense that God is sovereign. Now, the scriptures use certain words to describe sovereignty. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew word mamlakah, M-A-M-L-A-K-A-H, chiefly used. Now, it refers to dominion or reign, used in 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom. Underline that, your kingdom, mamlakah, that is your reign over Israel forever. But now your kingdom, underline that, your kingdom or reign, same word, shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Jeremiah 27, verse 1. Similarly there, it says, in the beginning of the reign, underline reign, mamlakah, of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Jeremiah 28, verse 1. It says, and it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign, underline reign, mamlakah, of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Ananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying. Now we also have the word Malku, M-A-L-K-U, which means royalty and kingly authority. Now it describes the power of kings who rule certain territories. It occurs in Daniel 5 verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly, underline that, kingly Malku throne, and they took his glory from him. Then similarly, the word Malak, M-A-L-A-K, which is a verb, is often used. It means to reign. Okay, it was used of Hebrew kings. 2 Samuel 2 verse 10, it is used twice in this verse. 1 Kings 16 verse 22. 2 Kings 3, 1, 2 Kings 9, verse 13, and also Ethan kings or non-Jewish kings, Genesis 36, verse 31, Judges 4, 2, 1 Kings 11, verse 25, 2 Kings 8, verse 15, 2 Kings 19, verse 37, Esther 1, 1. Now, 2 Kings 11, verse 3 speaks of the reign of Athaliah. Now, same word Malak is used here. Malak is also used to describe God's sovereign rule. You may see Exodus chapter 15, verse 18, 1 Samuel 8, 7, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 31, Psalm 47, verse 8, Psalm 93, verse 1, Psalm 96, verse 10, Psalm 97, verse 1, Psalm 99, verse 1, Psalm 146, verse 10, Isaiah 24, verse 23, Isaiah 52 verse 7, Micah 4 7. Now the word Adonai is one of those words used to describe God's sovereignty in the Jewish thought. It means sovereign Lord, referring to a master who exercises absolute authority. Now it occurs in Psalm 35, 22 to 23, Psalm 37, verse 13, Psalm 68, verse 11, Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Now the New Testament has the word basileia, B-A-S-I-L-E-I-A, and its verb basileo, B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O, the last one accentuated, for sovereignty. Now, this word carries the idea of royal power exercised by a ruling king. Particularly, the four Gospels speak of the kingdom or basileia of God of heaven. Matthew 4 verse 23, Matthew 18 verse 1, Matthew 20 verse 1, Luke 17 verse 20, Luke 19 verse 11. God is also called Despotes, D-E-S-P-O-T-E-S, the E after T accentuated, from whence we get the English terminology despot. Now, despotes refers to an authority figure, a lord or master, who wields unrestricted power, a limitless ruler. You may see Luke 2 verse 29, Acts 4 verse 24, 2 Peter 2 1, Jude 1 4, Revelation 6 verse 10. Another title which describes his sovereignty is Pantocrator, P-A-N-T-O-K-R-O-T-O-R, the O after T accentuated, that's the last T, okay? Now, it's a compound word from pars, P-A-S, the A accentuated, meaning all, and kratio, K-R-A-T-E-O, the E accentuated, the last O also accentuated, meaning to prevail, that is to prevail over. Now, it describes one with absolute authority who controls all things. You may see 2 Corinthians 6 verse 18, Revelation 1 8, Revelation 4 verse 8, Revelation 11 verse 17, Revelation 15 verse 3, Revelation 16 verse 7, Revelation 16 verse 14, Revelation chapter 19 verse 6, Revelation 19 verse 15, Revelation 21 verse 22. So the testimony of Scripture is that God is sovereign. He wields all dominion and power. Now, where does God get his sovereignty? From where does God derive his sovereign rule? From creation. Now, Genesis 1 verse 1 reads, in the beginning, God created, underline that, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this single act entitles God to absolute sovereignty. God made the world, therefore it all belongs to him. Exodus chapter 9 verse 29. So Moses said to him, as long as I've gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord, the thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Underline that, the earth is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 10 verse 14, it says, indeed heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord. Underline that, belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. Underline that, from also to it. First Chronicles 29 verse 11. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Underline that, from four to yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Job 41 verse 11. It says, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Underline that, from everything to mine. Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's. Underline that as well. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Psalm 50 verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you God is talking here, for the world is mine. Underline that, the world is mine and all its fullness. Underline that as well, all its fullness. Psalm 89 verse 11, it says, the heavens are yours. Underline that, the heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. Underline that as well, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them, the north and the south, you have created them, Tabor and Ammon. Now these were great mountains in the land of Canaan. Tabor was located by the west, near the Jordan River, with Ammon at the east. Now they were symbols of great beauty in ancient times. So it says they rejoice in your name. Now that would be personification. The entire universe exists as God's own property, and he has the right to do whatever he pleases in it. You know, when you build a house, you take full control over that house. So what was made by God is made for him. Colossians 1 verse 16, it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Underline that very key, for him. He makes it and it belongs to him. His purpose is for him. God, by virtue of creation, is legitimately entitled to do as he wants in the world. Psalm 135 verse 5, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does." Underline that, from whatever to does, in heaven and in earth and the seas and in all the deep places. Isaiah 46, 9-10. It says, "Remember the old things, for I am the Lord, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the head from the beginning, and from ancient times, things are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand." Underline that. "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Underline that as well. "I will do all my pleasure." Lamentations 3, verse 37. "Who is he who speaks, and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it?" God's sovereignty means there is no rule above his own. Now, there are human rulers today only because God allowed it so. Romans chapter 13 verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God." Do you see that? And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Underline that as well, are appointed by God. So God's sovereignty is his right, you can say, to exercise absolute rule over all creation, over all that he made. He has the right to control the earth. Psalm 47 verse 7, it says, "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." He has the right to control nature. Okay, you see that the earth is currently being sustained by his power. Hebrews 1:3, it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Underline that. Upholding all things by the word of his power. "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." How does God do this? Upholding all things by the word of his power. How does he do that? He does that by putting a law in nature. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, God told the earth precisely what to do, and it has continued to obey God's voice ever since. A seed planted will grow because God made it so. God does not need to actively cause the seed to germinate when it is planted. There is already a law in seeds to grow. You may see Genesis chapter 1, 11 to 12. Psalm 104 verse 14. "It rains after evaporation because God said it should." See Job 36, 27 to 28. Matthew 5 verse 45. Acts 14 verse 17. "The moon, sun and stars give light to the earth because God appointed it so." See Genesis 1, 14 to 18, Psalm 104, verse 19. So, he creates the world and then puts principles in place to chart its course. By doing so, he provides for all living things. Psalm 104, 14 to 15, it says, "It causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, or to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart." Verses 21 to 22, that same chapter. "The young lion rouse after their prey, and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together, and lie down in their dens." Verses 27 to 28, that same chapter. "These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. what you give them, underline that, you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with gold. Matthew 6, verse 26. Jesus talking here, it says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Underline that. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? So he exercises influence over the earth, providing for its inhabitants. He has the right to do so as sovereign. Okay? He has the right to control natural disasters. Famine. 2 Kings 8:1. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. Underline that. Very keen. The Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. Psalm 105 verse 16, it says, moreover, he called for a famine. Underline that. He called for a famine in the land. It destroyed all the provision of bread. Flood. Genesis 6 verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth, underline that, from arm to earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, or our life, okay, everything that is on the earth shall die. Droughts. Jeremiah 3:3. Therefore the showers have been withheld, underline that, from that withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You've had a harlot's forehead, you refuse to be ashamed. CF Leviticus 26 verse 19, Deuteronomy 28, 23 to 24, Pestilence, Exodus 9:3. It says, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence. Verse 6, that same chapter. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Ill. Exodus 9, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy ill to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Crop pests. Exodus 10 verse 4. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. Underline that. I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the ill, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Now, aside nature, he has the right to control human activities. He gives rulers their dominion. Daniel 2 verse 37, it says, you, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you, underline that, has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, he has given them, underline that, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler, underline that, has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. Daniel 4 verse 17. Similarly there, this decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Underline that. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. That is, he is sovereign. Gives it to whomever he will. Underline that. From gifts to will, and sets over it the lowest of men. Jeremiah 28 verse 14, it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar. Underline that. From that to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, underline that as well, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. Underline that. And they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Ezekiel 29 verse 19, therefore thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar. Underline that. From I to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away their wealth, carry off their spoil, and remove their pillage. And that will be the wages for his army. I have given him, underline that, I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because they have worked for me, says the Lord God. John chapter 19 verse 11. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Underline that, from unless to above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you, now that's Caiaphas, okay, the high priest of that day, as the greatest sin. He controls the hearts of rulers. Acts 4 verse 27. For truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Underline that, from your to done. Deuteronomy 2 verse 30. But Sion, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit. Underline that. Hardened his spirit. And made his heart obstinate. Underline that. Made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. Cf. Exodus 9 verse 12. Exodus 10 1. Exodus 10 verse 20. He makes nations great and destroys them. Job 12 verse 23. It says he makes nations great and destroys them, enlarges nations and guides them. He uses kings to accomplish his purposes on the earth. Exodus 9 verse 16. But indeed for this purpose, underline that, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you. Underline that, show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Underline that, from end to declared. Isaiah 44 verse 28 to Isaiah 45 verse 1. It says, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure. Underline that, from E to pleasure. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, underline that, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be short. He has the right to control lifespans. Psalm 31 verse 15. It says, my times are in your hand. Underline that. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. He has the right to control national crises and upheavals. Okay, the solution of nations. Ezekiel 15 verse 8. It says, thus I will make the land desolate because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. Colonization by oppressive nations. Ezekiel 21 verse 31. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow against you with the fire of my wrath and deliver you into the hands of brutal men. Underline that. Deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. So, we've seen his control over nature and human activities. Now, furthermore, he has the right to control evil. Isaiah 45 verse 6, it says, that they may know from the rising of the sun to his setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. Underline that. Create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. See that? Amos 3, 6. It says, if a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Underline that. Will not the Lord have done it? Disability and disease are within his control. Exodus 4, verse 11. It says, so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Underline that. Have not I the Lord? Deuteronomy 28 verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you. Underline that, from will to you until you are destroyed. It brings about disaster. Ruth 1 verse 13, it says, would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Underline that. From that to me, verse 20, that same chapter. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Now Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Underline that. From four to me. Referring to the death of a husband and two sons. You may see verses 3 to 5 for that. He is behind the maltreatment that we face. The sovereign God. 2 Samuel 16 verse 10. It says, but the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. How about that? Underline that from because to David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? Psalm 105 verse 25. He turned their heart, referring to the Egyptians, to hate his people. Come on. To deal craftily with his servants. So we see God's absolute control described over nature, mankind, and evil. Now, does God actually do all these things that we just looked at? Amen. No. Okay. All what we just saw are merely descriptions of the magnitude of God's power, not what he actually does. I see the way some of you were already looking at me, amen. As Pastor finally lost it, amen. Okay, that shows you're well trained here. God can do all these things if he wanted to, but he does not. Now, an illustration here to drive the point. The 1999 Constitution gives the president of Nigeria supreme powers, okay? But he may never exercise some of them, those powers, throughout his stay in office. Do you follow that? So he has those powers in paper, that is, theoretically. Okay, now this does not translate to him actually exercising them. Now, same with God. Do you follow that? A God who controlled everything without anyone's impute would be a tyrant. Okay, and God is no tyrant. We saw when we looked at what God is like, that God has put certain restrictions on himself. Remember that, okay? The king is under no restrictions except those that he places on himself. Do you follow that? Except those restrictions that he places on himself. So, although God is omnipotent and sovereign, that is, he can do all things, he does not do all things. Do you follow that? He puts limits and boundaries around the things that he can do. Self-imposed restrictions, you can say. Now, that limit to God's sovereignty is omnipotence, okay? Is love, all right? Love is an attribute of God and who God is. 1 John 4 verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Underline that. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God's love regulates his sovereignty. So God's personalities do not clash. Amen. Each attribute is governed, umpired by another. So his love controls his sovereignty. Do you follow that? His faithfulness controls his omnipotence, and so on and so forth. Do you follow that? One attribute regulates another. His attributes are in perfect unison with one another. So yes, he's sovereign, okay? He can do whatever he pleases if he chooses to. Yet his love constrains him from becoming a tyrant. So all we just looked at is control over nature, man, and evil are things he can do if he wanted to, not what he actually does. You see that many of those texts are actually in the permissive sense. A sovereign king without love would become a despot, but with love, he would rule fairly. A person with unlimited power who also has love would not oppress other people. So, although God has all power, he's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, he does not use this power absolutely. In actual practice, God submits his sovereignty to his love. Hallelujah. God's love is seen in the fact that he made men with a choice. This is perhaps the greatest display of God's love. He gave us the right to choose. God did not create zombies, okay, who would obey every word he says, every single decree that comes from him. God created relational beings, beings who could tell him no. Do you follow that? God created beings who could tell him no. Now, the theological term for this is free will. Okay? Free will. That is the power of volition. God made man with a free will. Genesis chapter 2 reveals this. Verses 15 to 16. It says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Underline that. You may freely eat. The Hebrew literally says, you may eat it. Do you follow that? The word eat is repeated twice. Now, when words are repeated this way in the Hebrew, it is for emphasis. So, this is to stress the free will given to man to pick. So, you can read it this way. The choice is entirely yours to eat whichever you like. Do you follow that? Now, verse 17 continues that same chapter. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Underline that. You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So, even though it is God's will that man does not eat from this tree, man has a choice to go against that will. It says, for in the day that you eat of it, or you can say, you choose, do you follow that, to eat of it, you shall surely die. So, at the very foundation of God's relationship with man is man's ability to choose. Throughout scripture, man is always given this right to choose. The Hebrew word used to describe this is bachar, B-A-C-H-A-R, which means to select. He may choose between life and death. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Underline that, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. He can choose between God and idols. Joshua 24 verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves. Underline that. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verses 22 to 24, that same chapter. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves, and you have chosen the Lord. Underline that. You have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Judges 10 verse 14. It says, go and cry out to the gods whom you have chosen. Do you see that again? Man always has a choice. Underline that. You have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. Isaiah 41 verse 24. Indeed, you're nothing. Referring to an idol. And your work is nothing. He who chooses you. Underline that. Who chooses you is an abomination. He can choose to do God's will or otherwise. Isaiah 56 verse 4. It says, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me. Underline that, choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Isaiah 65 verse 12. It says, therefore I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Underline that. From choose to delight. Isaiah 66 verse 4. So will I choose their delusions and bring their affairs on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Underline that. Chose that in which I do not delight. Man's free will can choose different persons for different roles. Exodus chapter 17 verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men, underline that, choose us some men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. 1 Samuel 13 verse 2, it says, Saul chose for himself, underline that, chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Men can choose a king. 1 Samuel 8:4-5. It says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Verse 18, that same chapter. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. Underline that. You have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. 1 Samuel 12:13. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen. Underline that. Whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. Justice. Okay, men can choose justice. Job 34:4. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Underline that from let ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. What kind of punishment he preferred. 2 Samuel 24:12. It says, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them. Underline that. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it for you. Cf 1 Chronicles 21:11-12, where you will dwell. Genesis 13:11. Then Lot chose for himself. Underline that. Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. What sort of weapon he would use in battle? 1 Samuel 17:40. 1 Samuel 17:40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. Underline that, from each stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine between animals. 1 Kings 18:23. Therefore, let them give us 2 bulls, and let them choose 1 bull for themselves. Underline that. Choose 1 bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I'll prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Verse 25, that same chapter. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose 1 bull for yourselves. Underline that. Choose 1 bull for yourselves, and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put not fire under it. Now, in the Greek New Testament, the word eklego, E-K-L-E-G-O, the last or accentuated, is used for choice, which means to select or pick. It speaks of a preference, a deliberate choice. Now, let's run through the usages. Mary chose the good part. Luke 10:42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Underline that. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus speaks of some who chose the best seats in public functions. Luke 14:7. So he told the parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best seats, saying to them, underline that, they chose the best seats. The early church chose deacons. Acts 6:5. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, underline that, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. The apostles chose certain men to travel to Antioch. Acts 15:22. Okay. Acts 15:22. It says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men, underline that, chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also called Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Verse 25, that same chapter. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you. Underline that. From two to you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. The word Ariel, H-A-I-R-E-O, the last one accentuated, is also used, which speaks of deciding. This is the word used in Hebrews 11:25, for Moses, who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God in Egypt. Paul also uses this same word in his dilemma on whether to die or not to die. You may see Philippians 1:21-24. Men's choices are always voluntary. His free will is never invaded by God. Now the Hebrew uses the word abah, A-B-A-H, to describe free will. Abba is derived from a root word which means to breathe after, to show one's passion or inclination to do something. Abba means to consent. Now, man may consent to obey God or not to obey. Leviticus 26 verse 21. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing, underline that not willing, Abba, okay, to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. Deuteronomy 1 verse 26. Nevertheless, you would not go, underline that you would not go, implying free will, a choice, okay, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. 1 Samuel 15 verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling, underline that, were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Isaiah 1 verse 19. If you are willing, underline willing, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 28 verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Underline that. They would not hear. Isaiah 30 verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear. Underline that, who will not hear. That is, they have no desire or inclination to hear the law of the Lord. Isaiah 42 verse 24. Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom he had sinned? For they would not, underline that, they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Ezekiel 3 verse 7. But the house of Israel will not listen, underline that, will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent, underline that, impudent and hard-hearted, underline that as well, hard-hearted. Ezekiel 20 verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. Underline that, would not obey. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. The word Abba was also used for choice in human relationships, for the choice of a potential wife. Genesis 24 verse 5. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing, underline that, will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Verse 8, that same chapter. And if the woman is not willing, underline that, is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. For the choice of lodging. Judges 19 verse 10. Moreover, the man was not willing, underline that, was not willing to spend that night. So he rose and departed and came opposite Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. With him were the 2 saddled donkeys. His concubines was also with him. To decline an invitation. 2 Samuel 13 verse 25. But the king said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be a burden to you. Then he urged him and would not go, underline that, would not go, and he blessed him. 2 Samuel 14 verse 29. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come, underline that, he would not come. Now the New Testament has the Greek words boulema, boulemai, and thelema for the will. Now the verb boulemai means to desire, intend, or wish. It describes a strong determination, purpose, or will. This was the word used by Pilate in John chapter 18 verse 39. He says, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me, underline want, or you can say it this way, are you willing for me to release to you the king of the Jews? Men can want certain things or not want them. Acts chapter 17 verse 20 as we close. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, therefore we want, underline want, that's that same word, to know what these things mean. Acts 18 verse 15. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want, underline that, I do not want to be a judge of such things. Similarly, the word thelema describes one's pleasure or inclination. Now, this word is almost entirely used for God's will. See Acts 22 verse 14, Romans 12 2, Ephesians 1 9, Colossians 1 9, Colossians 4 verse 12, although it sometimes refers to man's will. Luke 23 verse 25, it says, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, and he delivered Jesus to their will, underline the will, that's that word. John 1 verse 13, it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, underline that, the will of man, but of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, underline that as well, the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, free will is an inherent part of man, the right to choose, and a gift from God. Now, know that by giving man a free will, God took a very big risk. Do you follow that? How do we know that God takes risk? He gave mankind a free will. What does free will mean? It means that we will be the ones to determine our own future by our choices. Now, that's risky, right? So, one would ask, God, what are you doing? Giving mankind a free will. What if they go crazy, God? And they do unthinkable things. But you know what God says? God says, I do not care. Do you follow that? I would never enslave them to do my will. They must have the right to choose. Do you follow that? A big risk. So, man is a free moral agent. He is made with a free will, and God does not tamper with that will. Whatever decisions that men make with their free will is permitted by God. Now notice I did not say supported, but permitted. They are not the same thing. That is allowed. Now this is known as the accommodation of God, a theological terminology. The accommodation of God. So he might not like our choices or support them, but he bears with us anyway. Now, a story in the Old Testament illustrates this perfectly. Yahweh wanted to be the Jews' God and king, but instead they asked for a human ruler. 1 Samuel 8 verse 4, as we close, it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king, underline that, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, although this was not God's best for them, he allowed it. Do you follow that? The accommodation of God. He allowed it. He permitted it. Verses 6 to 9. It says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people. Underline that. Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Verse 8, that same chapter, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Verse 9, now therefore heed their voice, underline that, heed their voice, however, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will rule over them. Verse 22, that same chapter. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice. Do you see the recurrence of this phrase? Okay, heed their voice, underline that, and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Now that phrase, heed their voice, literally means yield to their request. Shema Belokam in the Hebrew. So this describes God's accommodative attitude. He may not like some of our decisions, our choices, but he will not tamper with our choices. You follow that? Even though they may not be the best, his preferred choice for our lives. You know, this is what Kenneth E. Hagin called the permissive will of God. Okay? God does not like what you're doing, but he's not going to tamper with your choice. He calls it the permissive will of God. Now, Paul also speaks of this accommodative nature of God in Acts chapter 14, verse 16. Now, let's see that very quickly. Acts chapter 14, verse 16. Are you following this so far? All right, thank you. It says, who in bygone generations allowed, underline that allowed, all nations to walk in their own ways. Now the word allowed, quite interesting. It translates the Greek iao, E-A-O, the last word accentuated. It literally means to put up with. It means to permit, to let alone, to allow one do what he wishes, to not restrain. So God puts up with men's choices. I wrote here, even the foolish ones. Amen. He puts no boundaries around men's will. God's sovereignty never imposes on men's free choices. Okay, so the idea that God is somehow controlling everything in the world today is false. Do you follow that? Man's free will has a role to play as well. Many things that happen on the earth today are consequences of man's own actions, the exercise of his free will. So we would see that in the teaching after this one. Amen. If God were controlling everything, then God would be responsible for every accident. Are you following this? Every natural disaster, kidnapping, rape, and murder that happens. You know, such thinking makes God guilty for men's actions. It passes the buck, okay? It pushes the blame on God. We can never truly take full responsibility for our actions if we think that God is somehow controlling everything that happens. But the Bible revelation is that God's desire does not always come to pass. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. The biblical revelation is that God's desire does not always come to pass. Many times his will is thwarted by men's actions or inactions. So we can say this another way. God does not always get what he wants. Amen. Although he's sovereign. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us to pray this way. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, okay, as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. Now why tell us to pray this way if God's will always comes to pass on the earth? Are we thinking together? Obviously, it doesn't. We pray because several things happen on the earth which are not God's desire. So prayer changes those things. Your will be done, because his will is not always done on the earth. He does not always get what he wants. Are we together? Okay. So in conclusion, God's sovereignty means he can control everything. That is, he has the power to do so if he chose to do so, but his love means he will not. He allows his creatures a free choice. So having the power to do something is completely different from actually doing it. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise, thank him, we pick up from here.